B-Pod Studios.
From all of us at the Sports Hub to all of you heading out to work in the hospitals, first responders, and everyone working to keep the rest of us safe, thanks.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray in studio this morning. And I have to be honest, yesterday was awesome. Just being able to turn on the TV and see hockey, basketball, and laugh at the Red Sox and know that John Wallach was in pain. Obviously, not very happy with what he's seeing there, which is completely understandable. And maybe soon I'll be like John Wallach, who's just rooting for it all to implode. And, the worst thing you could be is mediocre. If you're going to be great, awesome. Go win a championship. But if you're going to be bad, let's go down in flames.
Honest to God, I'm really proud of the fact that I've been a Patriots fan a long time, and I was alive to see Rod Russ, steward his team to a 1-15 season in 1990. I saw it. It was awful. People were rooting for losses at the end of it so they could get the overall number one draft pick. This Red Sox team has me thinking, maybe I should pay a little more attention to high school baseball and college baseball. See who the Red Sox will draft number one overall next year. Just kind of follow along in the spring if they have it.
As you said, they have the potential to be the worst team of your lifetime.
They have the potential to be the worst Red Sox team ever, winning percentage-wise.
Well, as anxious as all of us were for sports to get back, I don't think there's a human being that I know that was more anxious for sports to get back than Mr. Billy Jaffe of Nesson. I know that we have spoken with him in the past. He's like, when will the games start? Well, thank God they're back. So is Billy Jaffe on the Toucher and Rich show. He will be, what will you be doing? And when does this all start? Like, what's going on, Billy Jaffe? How you been? Oh, boy.
Hold on. There we go. No. There we go. There we go. We're back.
And we're on. Hey.
And on the phone with us, Bert Breer on the Volkswagen Expert Hotline.
Oh, these fancy AirPod things and everything going on. How are you guys doing?
Hey,
there we go. Listen, first of all, before we get going, it's great to be on. I want to wish Fred the best, and I'm thinking of him, and I know he's going to do great. I just wanted to say that what he's doing, I know you guys talked about it in the past, but my first time on since then. So go kick some ass, Fred. Set yourself
good. I want to say it every day, just in case he or a family member is listening, that we are pulling for him, we love him, and we can't wait till he gets back. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. And I second that. So I just wanted to say that. And it's great to be back with you guys. Today on a Wednesday, it feels like hockey season, kind of, in almost August. I'm excited, a little nervous, and kind of giddy just to watch some hockey like I did yesterday for a bit.
You know, I feel about all the other teams, there's kind of this easy breezy feeling, to be quite honest, because I don't have any expectations for really any of them. I don't have expectations for a championship for the Patriots. I don't for really the Celtics. I think if they win, that would be a great, pleasant surprise. And they have a chance, I guess. The Red Sox, I obviously have zero expectations. But there's a little bit of anxiety that I have. And John can attest to this over the last month or so before the NHL figured things out and got all the bubble. I was kind of really pissed that the NHL hadn't gotten things moving, because that's the team.
It was a rational panic. And here's the thing, Billy. Fred and I were trying to talk Rich down off the ledge. He was upset because all the other sports had dates on the calendar. But once Zdeno Chara loaded his family, and he has three kids that are 11 years old and younger, once Zdeno Chara loaded his family into the car and they drove back from Florida to Boston, Fred and I were kind of saying, the captain's not going to get in the car and drive 18 hours with family members in tow unless something is going to happen. So we were pretty convinced that it was going to happen soon.
But in fairness, Billy, the anxiety came from, my worrying that the one team that has shown me all season long that they most likely could win a championship,
yeah,
that season would implode. Like, I mean, that was the one thing, like, please make this work. So, I mean, are we, and it doesn't even, and now that it's started, like, I almost kind of have to remind myself just how good this team was. Are you feeling as confident now as you were back in March when everything imploded?
You know, both very valid good points that you guys made. The thing about this team, that when I look at the roster with Pastrnak in it, you know, there was that, oh, hold the breath moment of, will David be able to be there? I kept hearing he was okay, but you didn't see him. So let's play the in theory game. With this lineup, in theory, even without Andre Kasha, I look at this team and I'm like, okay, I feel good. I feel really good about this team, like legit chance.
Yeah.
Not fanboy chance. It's legit chance. I look at the depth. I look at the depth on D, and I'm like, holy smokes, not many other teams, a couple of others, but not many in the league would feel, you know, be able to field that kind of team or that defensive depth. And then I have that other thing on the other side of my, I guess, shoulder that says, you got no idea what the hell's going to happen with this scenario. No idea. Yep. Any team. And it's the truth. And there's some teams out there, Tampa, for instance, that in theory has got their full roster now, you know, healthy. Columbus, in theory, full roster. And this is the team that slugged it out with minor leaguers for the third of the season, Rich and Wallach. But, you know, that you know, they're healthy now. So who the hell knows? But, yes, I look at this Bruins team. I look at their camaraderie, their legitimate play-for-each-other attitude. They know that the window is not open a long time with this remaining group. Probably this is it for this group. And they look at it, I look at it, and I say, this is a damn good team.
Okay, so now David Pastrnak's back and skating. That's the great news, and I thought it was also really good that he kind of owned up to what happened to him over the last couple of weeks. That was good to see. Well, kind of, and we can get into that. But anyway, first-line problem solved. But now, without Andre Kasha there, and who knows if you're ever going to get him back or how soon you're going to get him back, the right side of the second and third lines are a little jumbled. In your mind, is it going to be Studnicka? Is it going to be Bjork? Is it going to be Sinishin? Who fills those two spots?
Well, sorry for the lame answer here, Johnny, but right now I'm going to give it to Jack Studnicka, and this is the perfect time to try it out. You've got three round-robin games, or you got the exhibition to Thursday. I guess that's tomorrow, right? Thursday. And then,
yes.
And then you've got the three round-robin games that, yes, have meaning, but not nearly as much meaning. So this is a perfect time to experiment to see if Studnicka can handle the physical play, that he can handle the mental aspect of the game at the NHL level. We know that he can handle it at the pro level. If the American League had an excellent year, leading the team in points, doing some great things, killing penalties, scoring shorthanded goals, etc. So he really well developed a well-rounded game. Can he do it regularly at the NHL level? That's what we need to see. Now, a couple of games probably won't tell the full story, but I think he's a natural right shot, or is a right shot. He's a natural center, but he's willing to play that right side. And the biggest thing for me, and I know it's early though, fellas, is that David Krejci is very happy with it. And when David Krejci is very happy, the Bruins are usually in a happy place. We've talked about this for years on your show, the hockey show, et cetera. When Krejci is good, when David Krejci is good, this team is that much better. He can be a big X, is an X factor for this team. And Krejci seems to like him a lot. Now it's early. Now, can Anders Bjork and Charlie Coyle reconnect on that third line? And where you have Sean Corrali on the left, well, Coyle and Bjork were very good together, but we need to see Anders Bjork do it at a long-term, sustained level, to be physically involved, digging up pucks, getting his nose behind the shot, getting to the front of the net. He does those things, fellas. I like Studnicka on that line. I like Bjork with Coyle. Can you play a Sinishin there? Yeah, but you know what? I think Sinishin right now would be more third line, okay, than second line. I do think that I'm going to use Bruce Cassidy's term toggle. I think you can toggle Carson Kuhlman in and out of the lineup, and he will be effective if he has to jump into that spot with Krejci. He hunts down pucks and he gets them to Krejci. The issue with Kuhlman, I know you guys know this because we talked about it, he doesn't have the offensive flair finish that other players, and potentially a guy like Studnicka does.
Okay, so Bruce Cassidy said something yesterday that was a little disconcerting, and that was about Andre Casa, who's not with the team yet. And he was basically saying, I don't really know him yet. Like, we haven't had a lot of time with him before everything kind of went sideways. Can you – how tough is it for someone like him, like, with the playoffs starting immediately – to plug a guy in and not know how well he jives with the rest of his line mates and how this all would work? You know what I mean? It's like, what is it almost like you just kind of go with what you got? I mean, I know he's a talented guy, but how tough is this for him?
Hey, Rich, it's no different than you, and I'm not being a smartass. It's no different than you guys putting somebody in the chair for a day or two working with you, and it's great because it's new. And you have a lot to talk about, but a couple of days later, that flow, that rhythm, that knowing each other's cadence, it isn't there. Sometimes it happens naturally. Other times it takes a long time. And you're a business. I get it. I've worked with hundreds of guys. Some it works, boom, right away. And there's a natural ability, a natural flow. And it's no different in a hockey game. And sometimes you got it and sometimes you don't. So it is difficult, especially getting them up the pace. Especially knowing where they want, you know, the defensive structure, whether it's neutral zone or in the D zone. Kasha is he's excited to be here. It leads me to believe that there's something more than just negative tests, or I guess it would be a positive test. I guess. I don't know. This is Billy spitballing here.
Timing,
I don't know. So
timing would kind of dictate that, because if it was that he had a positive test and he had to quarantine, the quarantine time would essentially be over by now, wouldn't it?
In theory. Now, remember, he traveled from Europe. There's a layer of that, but we saw that Pasternak went through it. I don't know. It just leads me to believe that there might be something more. I don't know. And I don't want to say it's irrelevant because I don't want to put the player in the act or get him. What I'm saying is right now, this is the ultimate. You play with what you got. That's what it is. Yeah. And you've got a lot of players. I mean, that's you have a contingent of 31 players. The Bruins elected to take four goalies up to Toronto. So you've got 27 guys. So it's not like you don't have options. The Bruins do. And so, but to answer your question succinctly, yes, it's tough because you're just throwing him in. You've only had him for a couple of games. He's trying to mesh with a few different players, in particular Krejci. It didn't seem like it was there right away, which doesn't mean it won't happen, but you got to figure out what other elements can make it work more. And now you're asking him to jump back in, Rich. A, without having seen it hardly at all, right, in the last, month. B, new system. C, in a playoff, not race, but a playoff situation, an actual playoff situation. It's very tough for Bruce Cassidy and his staff.
Okay, Billy. Right.
So real quick, John, I'm sorry to jump in, but I wanted to ask you about this before we let you go because, you know, the broadcasts have been surprisingly good when it comes to these sports that are returning. The Red Sox broadcast, it's been very good. Last night, watching the Celtics broadcast from Mike Gorman, it's been very good. Someone's bound to blow it. It's probably going to be you guys and your team.
Thank you.
So what do you think this broadcast, like, how have you had these meetings? How is it going to look? Where are you going to be? How is it going to be spread out? And when can I get the clips of you guys resting up royally on TV so I can play it here?
All right, so if you can see me giving you the bird right now, I am, just so you have a visual, okay? What are we doing? We've got both Red Sox and Bruins now going at Nesson. So Nesson management, you know, production people working overtime to space things out, figure things out. Our pregame, intermission, postgame, we're actually going to be doing it from what's called Studio B, instead of Studio A.
It's the lunchroom.
The place where Jim Rice has dinner before his broadcast.
We know what the priority of the Bruins is. We know who's getting the Nesson Plus bitch treatment.
They put you in the green room. Yeah.
No, that's where Jack and Brick's going to be, in the green room, calling the games from there. That's a good setup for them because they get the big monitors. We've got to watch the game. We have what's called the conference room upstairs, so that's going to work out just fine. It's nice. It's got a big monitor and another one in there. So that's totally fine.
I mean, where you can eat your snacks. It's the lunchroom. That's fine. Yeah, I get it.
Downstairs. That sounds good. Trust me, there's always the podcast room that we could have been put into. I don't think we'll put it there yet. No, listen, it's It's quite the challenge. We just had a long meeting the other day with the NHL, Rich, that put like 185 people were on it and talking about how they're going to be trying to get us this look and that look and everything. So I'm curious to see when it's all said and done. And by the way, the practice game look won't be completely what the Saturday, Sunday, the weekend look, the actual look will be both in arena and on TV. NHL is using upwards of 32 cameras, I believe, when a normal national game is like 12 to 13 or something like that. So there's a ton more cameras. Hopefully we get more looks. I can tell you this. I'm doing games off monitor, playing color is not easy, but to do it, I've done it before. I'm doing it again. I did it before when the European games were happening, and I would go to Versus/NHL Network and NBC Sports and be there. I'm doing it this Saturday. I'm doing the NHL radio, the national radio show, and I'm going to do it off a monitor, just like Judd and Bob are going to do. So that's different, but it is what it is. We're all dealing with it. And I hope we don't screw up, because the next time I come on, then you're going to really have fun with me. So,
well, first of all, I've liked the product that they put on there, so I'm looking forward to it. I just love the whole Nesbitt thing. I forgot that both you guys are going to be broadcasting two different things at the same time. And, Dennis Eckersley walks in, you throw rose petals, and then you got Jack and Brick, and they throw them in the broom closet. With, like, the corpse of a janitor that died 15 years ago.
I can see, like, Tom Caron going to the vending machine and just, like, gently tousling his hair on the way by. I'll see you later.
Right. He's going to walk right in front of you guys during the broadcast. Yeah. They put you right next to the bathroom. You hear a flush every once in a while.
Hockey guys are tough. They can handle anything, right?
Sure.
You can handle whatever.
I am looking forward to it. It's good to have you back. That means good things ahead of us. I'm enjoying it. All right. Well, Billy, good to hear you, man. We'll talk to you again soon. All right. Well, let's get to the rest of this Cedric Maxwell. If you've not heard Cedric Maxwell during yesterday's broadcast, he was distracted at probably the most inopportune time for the game. We will hear the rest of that in just a moment. Dan O'Brien, tell me that this is what replaced Crazy Town, and I'll be very happy.
You want to play this every day?
I would have no problem with it. Just
not really.
Just
music
every show should have one random Rush song thrown in there.
I agree. No, that's a good call.
Doesn't have to
very
be a
special day
song
if you're a Rush fan.
That's right.
So why is that?
It's Geddy Lee's birthday, Rich. Certainly, but he's 67 years old today.
How about that? For his birthday, he's playing 15 notes at a time on his bass and 17 on the keyboard with his feet, just to show you that he indeed can do that. Well, as good as Geddy, or as good as Geddy Lee is, he's not quite as good as Geddy Brewski.
A modern day warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense. Riding out the day's events.
See, that is Teddy Bruschi doing songs by Geddy Lee, and it was called Geddy Bruschi.
That's what started it all, right?
Geddy
there.
Bruschi.
That's why they give us the Marconis, or Marconi singular. Probably will remain that way after bits like that. All right, so let's get to last night the Celtics played, and you of course could hear it right here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, and I got a bunch of tweets about this, and so let's just play the beginning of this. I want to hear the rest. I did not know when we played this, because I heard it for the first time, the first part of it. I've not heard all of it, but the first part of it. When I heard it, I didn't realize what part of the game this was happening. And now I know. So last night, Eric Gordon goes down with this injury, and it was kind of scary. I mean, he was on the ground for probably about a minute or so. And it's like eerily quiet on TV when you're in the bubble, because they turn all the sound off and it goes from like all these let's go Rockets to just nothing. So it was definitely an eerie vibe. So for this to happen during that makes this all the more strange. Cedric Maxwell, Sean Grandy from last night's Celtics broadcast.
They have Austin Rivers and McLemore coming off the bench. Eric Gordon is up and he is not yet walking, but he is standing.
Yes.
On his feet. Why don't you tell everybody
pizza
what you're
pizza time.
You're the only guy who got a pizza delivered during a pandemic to a supposedly secure location.
All right, stop it. So that obviously was Cedric Maxwell ordering a pizza but not just ordering a pizza during the quarantine, but screaming in excitement while Sean Granny is doing the play-by-play for what could have been a gruesome injury.
Pizza time!
Eric Gordon is lying in pain. He's still on the floor, writhing in pain with what, you know, could have been an Achilles, could have been a broken ankle. No one had any idea. It turns out it's relatively minor, but we didn't know that at the time.
Pizza time!
And even Grandy, who obviously has probably heard everything sitting next to Cedric Maxwell, even he's a little taken aback by this. Like, are you not listening or seeing what's going on right now? It's one thing for him to do it during a regular broadcast, obviously. But here's what I want to know now, because I heard that part earlier. I just want to see, how long does it take to get Cedric Maxwell back? Because once he's distracted by a pizza, like, will he... Is he just gone for the next couple of minutes? Like, is he checked out and it's all about this amazing meat lover's pizza that he's got sitting in front of him? Let's take a listen.
On his feet, why don't you tell everybody
pizza what time?
You're the only guy who got a pizza delivered during a pandemic to a supposedly secure location. That's like Jack Bauer getting a pizza delivered to some prison camp in Slovenia.
Let me stand right here and do this. See, this is what I'm holding up right now. Which way do I hold this Bible? How you want me to hold it? This way, that way? I'm not sure. That was the best.
Eric Gordon is being helped off the floor, man. This is just
stop. All right. I didn't get that reference earlier. People were saying that's a Trump reference.
Yeah.
Even so, why is he making that reference?
It doesn't matter. Does it really matter why? Does it? Really? Think about this. Does it matter why he's making that reference?
So he worships the great book of Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
The great book of Papagino's. Okay. He's holding it like a Bible.
Let's go with
I'm not quite sure,
sure
why he's referencing that, but... Yeah. But all right, let's let it roll.
Eric Gordon is being helped off the floor, man. This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage games.
Is that Stephen A? Who was that?
That does kind of sound a little bit like Stephen A.
This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage
games. I'm a Bonafide. Oh, yeah. I mean, the words that just came out of his mouth was, they're helping him off the floor. Oh, yeah, right.
This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage
games. I'm a bottom feeder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're gonna violate the bubble.
That's whoever just played that. It's tremendous.
Yeah. Oh goodness gracious. All right, let's let it roll.
This is just a nightmare of these exhibition scrimmage games.
Yeah, just like that.
Let's get this halftime. Let's get the halftime. Jeez.
Still 108 to go until halftime.
Holy moly. Smells like pizza.
How long did you say it took for them to let you in to the building tonight?
Forever.
And yet, somehow, Spicoli, a pizza has found its way to... I mean, what happened to our time...
Our time called halftime. Excuse my friend. It's going to be halftime.
Covington gets the free throw.
Don't we go to the back to get things, snacks to eat and stuff at halftime? I'm trying to teach like a regular season game.
Long lead. Westbrook catches up to it. Going to attack Poirier. Trying to move it to the wing. Got deflected by Ogilvy out of bounds. Houston will keep it. Keeping Max 54 seconds away from his halftime snack. 74-58, Houston by 16.
Okay, stop. What is that smack? Is that him just like licking his chops, or is he already?
I'm betting that's
dug in.
No, I'm betting that's like the soda that he brought with him. That's like the bottle of soda he dropped.
Pizza time.
That's what I think it is. I think it's the 2-liter bottle of Coke he ordered as well. Does it sound like that? I think that's what that is.
It's just gross. It's like clamping and clutch. Oh, man. Poor Sean. All right, just let it roll.
74-58, Houston by 16. 17 on the shot clock, 22 on the game clock as we count it down to halftime, which for Max has a double meaning. Harden.
Double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
Please replay that one. Please.
Double meat on this pizza.
Oh, God bless you, Max. That's great.
I'm a bottom feed on this pizza.
That's right. Yes, you are. Yeah.
Double meat.
Oh, goodness. I wonder if he's like rubbing his chin right there.
Just like
oh,
that.
Man. What do we got here? I love this
always,
pizza.
Always, always ass.
All I can think of is, oh, my God.
It's just, oh, goodness. I mean, the game's gone. It's gone. Like, he's not even on the same planet. And you know, Grandy's dealt with this 1,000 times before, but even he seems a little like, what are we doing? I mean, granted, it's preseason, but or whatever you call this scrimmage game. But, oh, you know what? Keep doing it, Cedric Maxwell. Please, continue. Let's hear the rest of this.
Harden.
Double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
Harden has Wanamaker lined up. Step back three. Got it. A 30-point first half for James Harden. That is bubblicious. Harden just wants the ball back. He drives from three-quarters court, and it just goes wide left. And that will do it for the first half. For all of us, it's halftime. For Max, it's snack time.
Always, always ass. Double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
All right.
Pizza time.
Is the Carson Edwards dunk in that clip? Because he had to have a little emotion on that one.
Somebody said, when are the pizza time shirts dropping?
I mean, pizza time. Pizza time.
It's like, I mean, but once again, the fact that he did it while a man was lying injured on the floor, it was like, we come here today to remember the life of Uncle Jeff. Uncle
yes,
Jeff.
Pizza time.
He just... Oh, God bless him. All right. Well, Cedric Maxwell, a man who would completely and totally prefer John Wallach to be sitting next to him than Sean Grandy. I think that right there was evidence of Sean Grandy being a complete and total pro, to be quite honest. And I think he's earned some good points, which is going to earn me a text from John yelling at me saying, why won't you slam Grandy a little bit more so I can get off this awful show that I've been that I've been slaving on since 2009? And you know what? I bet he didn't even give Grandy any of his pizza. I bet he would have given you a slice. Yeah. He would have given you the second slice.
He would have given
so
me
much,
the second slice.
Oh, all right.
Pizza time.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to the stack right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Double beat on this pizza. Thank you.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And John, we have a sponsor.
Of course we do. The Stack, as it is every day, is sponsored by Window Nation, Rich. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. You can check them out at windownation.com.
If you want to see a picture of what pure happiness looks like, I retweeted the photo that Sean Grandy put out there yesterday of Cedric Maxwell getting his pizza. And after I've heard the audio, the pictures, it's
even double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
He is in his happy place. There is a, I mean, he's locked in. I mean, he doesn't even have his headphones on. I think he took his headphones off. He was just like, I'm not going to listen to the game. You got this, Sean.
No, that's normal. That's like, okay, we have like 30 seconds left. I'm going to beat the traffic to the media room to get my sandwich. Yeah.
I'm checking on out.
Sandwiches.
All right. So one of my, okay. Well, by the way, there was a, another Instagram put out by Cam Newton, and guess what he's addressing? The haters and how great he's going to be. That's a change up. He, matter of fact, just put the words, dear haters, I have so much more for you to be mad at. Just be patient. That's why it would be so funny if he opted out. After all this talk, it would just be phenomenal if, like, Bill Belichick whispered in his ears, like, all right, dude, maybe you should opt out too. And then, of course, then the season goes to hell and they get Trevor Lawrence and everyone's conspiracy theory comes true. There is something to all of them opting out at the same time. I'm not going to dismiss that. I'm not just going to say, you know, all of these people, you know, have concerns about their, and that might be true. But the fact that everybody pretty much within 24 hours, not everybody, but six players within 24 hours did it, when I don't think there's a team that has more than two opted out.
Can it just be as simple as yesterday was supposedly the first day of camp?
Well, there's that. Wasn't that the same way for some other teams too?
No, every team yesterday was the first day of camp. But you're talking about why specifically for the Patriots, it was everyone at the same time. Everyone got, you know, first day of camp. It came to a decision. It was decision time for everyone, and everyone's like, "Nope, I'm staying home."
Yeah, I think Belichick said, "Hey, let us know now." The thing about it, I forget who said it yesterday, but every time someone shows up or every time camp opens up, there's always some news story that always happens. I think Belichick said, listen,
let us know. Forget this August 3rd thing. Let us know by day one.
Let us know now, because when camp starts,
combination. Yeah.
No crap. And
sure,
every year, Rich, there's some story, man. Always at the beginning of the year. And I think maybe he said, let's do it. Let's set a deadline of today. Because I think Jeff Howe tweeted out yesterday he doesn't think anybody else will opt out, at least to his knowledge.
The only one that I'm really concerned about now is the McCourtys, just because they've been floating that out there for a while about how they didn't feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, on Sunday night, they made that podcast saying that they had seen social media where, you know, other players in the NFL have been hanging out in clubs. And, you know, they were saying that something like that could submarine a team. It could take down a weekend and screw up a season. I mean, there's the effects are crazy. But, I mean, they're saying that. So that's the only name that I wouldn't be surprised if I heard from this morning. Essentially, almost everyone else. Unless somebody, except for David Andrews, who said he was staying. Like, he, I guess, according to Mike Giardi, specifically said he was not going to opt out. That's a surprise. But the McCourtys, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think that, there might be something to there being so many players from the Patriots who have done it. I don't think you should just dismiss that that's a coincidence.
No, you're right. And just talking about the McCourtys, that would be the crusher for this defense. I think, you know, given some
Stephon
opportunity.
Stephon Gilmore would be the crusher.
Hang on now. Obviously, Stephon Gilmore is one of the 10 best players in the National Football League. He's a defensive player of the year, but we're not talking about him right now. We're just, in theory, right now, the question marks are the McCourty brothers, and they've kind of hinted at it, so that's what I'm working on. Obviously, if you don't have Stephon Gilmore back there, that's the crusher. But in this situation, after losing Hightower, if you lose Devin McCourty on top of that, that's the killer for the defense. Those are the two guys that make sure that everyone is where they need to be. And you can say what you want about safeties, but Devin McCourty is a calming presence back there. I mean, he really is for that defense.
He's just the leader on the team, too.
Well, that too, but I mean, specifically for the secondary, he's the guy that makes sure everyone is where they're supposed to be. And if you lose him on top of Hightower,
great tackler,
that's crushing. You know? That's a killer.
If they leave, they have enough leadership.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Although joking aside, you know, if Devin McCourty goes, and let's say for some reason Slater left, I mean, that, who's kind of the known leader after that? You know, Hightower was obviously known as a guy that was like that. Some of the other dudes aren't on the team anymore. You know, even Patrick Chung was kind of looked at that after a while.
Oh, I know who it is. But it's the guy who's going to jump to the front of the line and say, look at me. It's Julian Edelman.
Hey, I don't care. They could use him, man. They just need somebody. They need bodies right now. Warm, effective bodies. And you know what? Edelman's one. You know, Joe Murray liked watching that video of him shirtless catching passes.
Oh, yesterday it was him and Damir Bird and Edelman. Did you see them all together when one had his shirt off?
That was Edelman.
We did that one out yesterday. Yeah.
Maybe you can invite him to Rocky Night over at the Kowloon.
Hey, they come with me, I bet.
He could. All right,
I wonder if Edelman would have a shirt, though. That's the question.
Well, I'm not quite sure if he would. I mean, how could you? Now, listen, it is Rocky Night after all. So one of my favorite conspiracy theories that you threw out there, Joe Murray, was about Aaron Rodgers. And you were saying, with everybody opting out, you know, how funny would it be if Aaron Rodgers just says, you know what? You guys drafted Jordan Love. You're on your own for a year. Just to see it all crumble. And Aaron Rodgers yesterday with the Ringer, and he was kind of a little bit thoughts and how he was feeling about the whole situation with them drafting him, which, by the way, I mean, stuff like this happens in the NFL. He must have happen eventually. And I, to be quite honest, I thought it was a good move. I think he got to prepare, and maybe he puts a fire under his ass. We've seen it with Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. I think that that actually helped his play, Tom Brady's play. Having Garoppolo, there's someone who is a legitimate threat to your position. And here is what he had to say about
Cincinnati. Based on just the circumstances around everything. You look at look at the facts. They traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him. Now I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to play their guys. And I get it. I really do. I don't harbor any ill will about it. Was I bummed out? Of course.
Yeah, of course you were.
Do you know what he said he was doing?
What's that?
He said he was he loves scotch, but he was sipping tequila after. He got a text message from his agent saying they're going to draft the quarterback, and he said that he was shocked and said he started sipping some tequila.
Started sitting back and taking a drink, and maybe he opt out as well.
In 2004, the Packers were 10-6 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. We were 13-3. One game from the Super Bowl, won a playoff game at home. Obviously, won our division. A little different circumstance. Not to mention that Brett had talked about retiring for a few years before that. So, I've talked about playing in my 40s. So, when people start talking about the parallels to this and that, well, I fell to 24.
All right, dude is so pissed, and I love it, and I love a pissed off Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? I think for that reason, if he does play, he's probably going to be pretty damn good. Having a fire under his ass is always a good thing. And let's face it, he needed one. He needs one. I got no problem with that.
He brought that team to the NFC Championship.
No, he doesn't need a fire under his ass. He's fine. He's motivated. He was motivated before. Yeah, he needs people to throw the football to. And the other thing is, if you're Aaron Rodgers...
Oh, he's such a prick. I like any kind of pressure that's put on that guy.
Obviously, but I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, the first pick is the guy to replace you, and the second pick is a guy to hand the football to.
That's true.
I mean, their second round pick was a BC running back that carried the football 40 times a game.
Aaron Jones led all football and touchdowns last year.
Honest to God, I didn't have a backup, and I'm throwing the football all over the place. My brand new head coach just drafted my replacement and an alternative to the offense that I run. I mean, of course I'm pissed, but Aaron Rodgers is a top five quarterback regardless of Jordan Love is there or not there.
I hope he opts out.
I hope so, too. It'd be chaos. It'd be love it.
Because then you will look like a genius, Joe Murray. There's no question. You will definitely look like a genius. All right, so Kevin Harlan, who we like, he's doing the play-by-play in the bubble at TNT last night. Hey, it might not just be Cedric Maxwell who's getting hungry.
I want to see how much pull we have in the city of Atlanta. See if we can get some of those chicken wings sent down here to Orlando.
Oh, no,
because
you didn't.
We could celebrate. We could celebrate the restart with those wings. Anyway, guys, that's our story.
Yeah. That's right. Harlan broadcasting from the TNT studios right there in Atlanta. And was it Magic City? That's where he went and got the Lou Williams named chicken wings down there. Is it weird that we haven't seen LeBron's room yet? Everyone's showing their room and no one's showing LeBron's what his room looks like or anything like that. And I'm starting to speculate it's because he's just got an enormous room, like one that nobody else has. And he doesn't want, obviously he wants to seem like the common man and like, oh man, we're in this bubble.
No.
But I bet that they just gave him a palace.
No, that's one. But did you see his press conference after practice yesterday? Did you see it?
Did you see him sit on the throne?
Yes,
or was
that's
it
right.
Everybody
no,
sat on
no,
the throne.
No, it was just him. He's shirtless. He's sitting on a throne. LeBron James, ladies and gentlemen. I saw a lot of press conferences yesterday. I didn't see Anthony Davis sitting on a throne. I didn't see any of the other guys. It was just LeBron. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure there's someone out there who knows. But I didn't see anybody else sitting on a throne to do their press conference. Just when you think he's gotten the message and he's all set, and LeBron's done a lot of good, not just for charity, but in the last few months as well.
You don't have to say that. You can think that he's a great player and you can think that he's done things, but think that he's also a self-centered, like just a narcissist, which I've always thought that about LeBron. Me, 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 I, every press conference.
It still pops up. It's like he can't tamper it down for only so long, and then it pops up again.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe that was a production guy who did that or something like that, that it wasn't him. I'll give him that. But I mean, it's just, but you're right. The minute you start to be like, all right, LeBron's okay, something pops up, I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on that one. But J.J. Redick was talking about, maybe my conspiracy theory is true that all these players aren't treated the same.
I've been in a couple of my teammates' rooms, and I've seen some video of a couple of superstars' rooms at other hotels. And let me just tell you, the bubble experience is not the same for everybody. Player. Some guys basically have 2 and 3 bedroom apartments. I don't have that. No kitchen for me, but there are some guys with kitchens. I've been in this 14 years and I can't get a nice room.
That's right. I mean, because LeBron is living in essentially a mansion right now.
Yeah.
Of course he's living in a mansion. And I bet there's nobody on the Celtics who has a room that's good. There's nobody on the Boston Celtics who would command a room like that. Not one player, not Kemba Walker, not Jason Tatum. I bet they're all sitting there in like a row. But I guarantee you, LeBron James has one. I bet the, like, James Harden probably got one. These might just be guys who have great agents who like lobbied for it before anyone else thought about it. But yeah, they're not all living. And notice how we haven't seen any of them because they don't want anyone to see it. So good for him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.